Let's conclude our funnel down to our emphasis on evangelism that we've already been studying for the past 5 or 6 weeks together. We're finally going to reach the bullseye, if you will. We're going to finally talk about evangelism itself. We've been emphasizing it together for some time, but maybe not from the direction that would seem natural to us. We've been learning from Ephesians chapter 2 and 3, and then from Acts 2, and then from many other passages that are supporting the emphasis that we've looked at together, that our purpose and our practice as a church, both individually as members of this church and our church as an entire body, as a local church, is to bring God glory in Christ, and to do that through the church by devoting ourselves to some specific callings, some specific actions as a church. God's glory is the goal, and we accomplish that goal by pursuing some of these specific scriptural callings as a church. We've been funneling down toward evangelism, and we're going to arrive there tonight. Let's ask God for grace as we continue this study, that He would show us areas where we individually and we as a church have room to grow. We look forward to our time of study here tonight. Let's ask God for His help now. Father, we thank You for the calling that You have given to us to go to all the world and preach the gospel, to preach it with our lives, and even more importantly, to preach it with our words. Lord, help us to see tonight that this is a calling for all of us. Help us to see that we have a long way to go, individually and as a church family, to fulfill this calling that You have given to us. But Lord, we are not discouraged. We are not disheartened because we know that You, in Your Son, have given us all we need to accomplish this calling, that through Him You equip us, through His gift and His grace You enable us to fulfill it. And so we pray that we would see Him this evening as the content of what we proclaim to the lost, as the motivation for why we proclaim Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn together to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5 tonight. That's where we will arrive in a few moments. But first of all, we want to kind of have a little bit of review together, mostly just to make sure that we continue the threads that are interwoven through all of the different sessions we've had together, both in Pastor Pennington's series on kind of telling us what the church is scripturally, and then the last few weeks together, how we have looked at how the church, what the church does, how the church accomplishes this goal, particularly how we desire to accomplish it here at Cornerstone. And we as a church family use God's word, or at least we should, as our guide in specifically how to accomplish our mission, which is to bring glory to God. And we have a mission statement that we base on Scripture that we've been keeping before us as our purpose as we've gone through this study, which is a good idea for us to do from time to time as a church family, whether we're doing a study like this or not, because a mission statement drives what we do. But it's only valuable if it's based on what God's Word actually says. So we've been going through the last several weeks and using our mission statement as an outline and going to God's Word to see what it means to accomplish these different goals that we see here in our mission statement, doing it together and individually. This is the mission statement that we've been looking at together. Under the headship of Jesus Christ, Cornerstone Baptist Church strives to obey God's Word by doing three things, by fulfilling three different facets of that mission. These scriptural callings that we have as the body of Christ at large, and more specifically and locally, what this particular local church has as its calling, to exalt the Lord, edify the saints, and evangelize the lost. And again, a mission statement is nothing magical. It's only helpful and valuable when it is based on what Scripture says, when it is founded on what God's Word says. And only then is it helpful. And our plan has been to practically go through each of these facets together, each category of church ministry here, and to look at how we can accomplish this, what we already have in place to aid us in that goal, and what more we can do, the mindset adjustments that we may need corporately and individually to pursue these callings together. And all three of these missions are vital, None of them are more important than the other, but sometimes we tend to devalue or overvalue one or the other at the expense of the other two. And we have to make sure that we don't have that as part of our mindset, because that can limit the full-orbed fulfillment of our purpose. All three of these are vital to the success of our mission at Cornerstone Baptist Church. And then we've been looking at these four things that we need to remember together as we go through each of these facets of our mission. And these things are going to be very important tonight as well. The first thing is that we remember that each of these facets of our mission is pursued in a couple of different spheres of life for us as a church family. The church gathered and the church dispersed. And because our worship and edification and evangelism, all three of those things take on very different forms depending on whether we are here together, whether we are gathered as God's people, or whether we are apart throughout the week. It becomes vitally important to emphasize in this session in particular tonight the difference between being dispersed and what our calling to evangelize looks like then and what it looks like when we're gathered together. Secondly, we have to emphasize the role of the spoken word in each of these facets of our mission statement. Our fulfillment of each mission for God's glory is incomplete unless God's truth is actually spoken. If we just gather together, for instance, to worship and we have this nice worshipful feeling, that's not complete worship. That's a worshipful feeling and nothing more. God's word, God's truth has to be spoken, it has to be sung in order for worship to take place. When it comes to edification, we can't just get together as a few families on a Friday or Saturday night and hang out and have a good time together. That's not complete true fellowship unless the spoken word is used to edify in that fellowship. God's word must be proclaimed verbally in each case, in worship, in edification, and as we're going to see tonight, in evangelism too. And thirdly, we went to 1 Corinthians 12 a few weeks ago, where Paul uses the body analogy to remind God's people that we are all pursuing and working toward this goal together. The idea is that what we are studying here together and what we'll continue to study when Pastor returns for the next few weeks, as he focuses in particular on the nuts and bolts of evangelism, we're seeing that this is for everybody. This is a challenge that we are all called to. No one is exempt from participating in any one of these facets of our mission. No one is exempt. In Christ's church, each member is nothing short of indispensable. That is a loaded word for you and for me. That means we must engage. When it comes to worship, both gathered and dispersed, when it comes to edifying one another, both when we are gathered and when we are dispersed, and then when it comes to evangelism, no one in this church family is exempt from participation. We all must engage. And then finally, we have to resist that temptation to think that someone else in the church family really needs to hear this as we study this together. This is something all of us need. Allow your heart to be challenged. Desire to change individually. Point those mental fingers at yourself and say, I need this. And this has been our study plan for worship and for evangelism together. We've looked at how we can exalt the Lord and edify the saints when we're gathered, how we can do those things when we're dispersed, and how each of those things actually does serve as a secondary benefit. It does serve to enhance our evangelism. But tonight you're going to see us deviate from this outline just a little bit. And we're going to do that on purpose, because it's going to bring us down to the main point of our study over the last several weeks and ask ourselves some questions about evangelism itself in light of what we've already seen. So why go about it this way? Why pursue a study of evangelism through the prism of a study of the church, our identity as the body of Christ, our purpose and our practical actions as a result of those things? Why do that? Well, our first week when we looked at worship, both gathered and dispersed, we saw that our worship as a church family actually does proclaim the excellencies of our Savior. It glorifies God, even in the eyes of those that do not know him, that may be here in our midst, or may see the fact that we are making it a priority to come here to worship God on a weekly basis. And then last week, edification, helping each other grow in Christ's likeness. It's vital to bringing God glory. It does accomplish our mission. And even how we interact internally as a church family, it is evangelistic because the love and person of Jesus Christ is portrayed in our edification. It's portrayed to the world around us in a beautiful and a concrete way as the church operates as it should. That does preach Christ to an extent. So clearly accomplishing the other two facets of our mission does aid in evangelism, but why spend so much time, basically 4 weeks now up to this point, on all the other things that we choose to do, all the other priorities that we have? And the reason is because often our problem with evangelism doesn't simply just come from a misunderstanding of what evangelism is. It comes from a misunderstanding of what the church is, a lack of understanding about the church. You see, we can't understand our call to evangelize unless we understand our call as a church and how biblically we are to pursue that call together. If we are the church we are to be, the fact is that evangelism will happen. It will. The local church is literally the gospel of Jesus Christ made visible. So if we are working and practicing the way that we should, evangelism is going to happen. That's why we spend so much time on these other facets of bringing God glory in our mission. We can't just tackle evangelism to be a more effective evangelistic church. We must sharpen everything in order to be the church. To be the church that God desires this local body to be the visible manifestation of the gospel of Jesus Christ in our community. And that's why we've gone about this the way that we have. I hope that has been clear to you all the way from several weeks ago until now, even as we arrive finally at the main emphasis of our study together. So with that in mind, we now turn our attention to evangelism itself as a church family. How does Christ himself portray evangelism? Obviously, he is the subject of it, and he's the motivation for it. It really surrounds him. He is the essence of the gospel. So what did he say about it? How did he tell us we should pursue this together? Well, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, he makes it abundantly clear what he thinks about this calling. In fact, he is the one that initiates that calling. He gives us that calling. We call this the Great Commission. The commission of the apostles and all who would follow after to do what we're about to read. This is what Christ said about the call to make disciples. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." There's a lot here, so let's kind of walk through this and look at several different emphases that Christ gives to his people in this calling. First of all, evangelism rests on whose authority? The authority of Jesus Christ himself, the authority that he now has. This is his plan. He will accomplish it as he sees fit, and he has chosen to use us for that. That's his method. Evangelism rests ultimately on the authority of Jesus Christ. And now we see the main point of this command in these few verses. It is to make disciples. That is the imperative here in this passage. It's a mission to call others to make Jesus their master. That's what we are to go. That's what we are to do. And baptizing and teaching are some of the specifics of how we go and make disciples. You can see also there in verse 19 that this call doesn't have a limit, does it? Go and do this of all nations. We see this reiterated in the same context when Christ is on the Mount of Olives about to ascend into glory after his resurrection. And this is his last word to his followers. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, a parallel passage to this one, he provides that outline for them that this calling has no limit. You'll be witnesses about my truth, about the story of me in Jerusalem locally, and then spreading to the region beyond that, and then region further beyond that in Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the world. And then that basically describes what's going to happen throughout the rest of the book of Acts. Provides an outline for that book, showing that this commission is both local and far away in its implications. There are no limits to this. There will never be a time when this job is done until Christ returns and every knee bows before him. Also, in our call for discipleship, leading someone to Christ is only the beginning. That's implied here. It's a beginning of a teaching process. It's a call to submit what he has commanded his submit to what he's commanded his followers to do. Verse 20 mentions that. You see, evangelism is merely step one in the process of discipleship, of making disciples. And then finally, at the end of verse 20, up until this point, we're pretty overwhelmed with this calling. But then we see in verse 20 that we have Christ's present help to accomplish this. And that's a great encouragement and a great blessing as we pursue this together. And then what did we see starting in Acts 2? We saw that the church started fulfilling this calling, and they did it in earnest. They were the messenger. Christ's plan for evangelism literally is the church being the church. And the three facets of our mission follow this commission. Make disciples, declare the gospel to them, teach them, edify them, worship God together with them, and then make more of them with God's help and by his grace. But we need to remember who does this work before we go any further. And we have to remember what our role is in this process. And that is why we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to put verses 18 through 20 here on the screen, but I want to back up a couple of verses to read them together to give us kind of the context here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 16. Okay, yeah, here we go. Let's go ahead and start with verse 17. Here we go. Just one verse prior. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. What a wonderful synopsis of what the gospel itself is. Look back up a couple of verses before that to verse 14. For the love of Christ controls us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died, and he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. There's an emphasis there that evangelism is not just this one-time event without any repercussions following that, but discipleship is a process of bringing people that live for themselves naturally, becoming one that now lives for the sake of him who died and was raised for them. A beautiful synopsis of the message that we have. And now in verse 18, what does Paul say? All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Our calling in outreach is to be messengers of this reconciliation that Christ has wrought between us and God. We are the messengers. We're not accomplishing the work of reconciliation because Christ has already done that. We are the messengers. This isn't a process of pursuing the social gospel or social justice to help kind of Christ fix all the messes that are in the world today, all the problems of the world. That's not what this is. We are emissaries. We are ambassadors. We are messengers. It's His work. We are the channels. It's not about moral improvement or societal improvement. The Great Commission is not necessarily about making the world a better place. It's about getting the word out about God's gift of reconciliation available to all mankind. It's not building His kingdom here on earth. It's to get people connected to a reality that is not of this world, right? That's our calling. Our Savior does not need us. But you know what? He has chosen to use us in this as His messengers of reconciliation because He has determined that making His appeal through us brings Him glory. That's His idea. This is His work, and we have the privilege of being a part of it. So how does Cornerstone Baptist Church then accomplish this? What types of things do we have in place to make this happen, to pursue this together? Let's start where we've started the past couple weeks, when we are gathered together, evangelizing the lost, when we are corporately gathered. Now, there are several different layers to this that we could look at. First of all, we've talked about it in past weeks, both when we're in large gatherings on Sundays and on Wednesday night, when we're here together corporately, that does proclaim the gospel. We've seen that in past weeks. And then we can go beyond that to perhaps smaller gatherings when many of us are still together in a structure that the church provides. We would call those evangelistic programs or outreach programs. So let's briefly kind of refresh our understandings of the outreach structure that is already in place here at Cornerstone. First of all, this is again what we looked at in past weeks. Our pursuit of the first two facets of our mission actually does point to the gospel. Our gathered worship and our gathered edification does have an evangelistic impact. The gospel is preached or taught by use, again, of the spoken word in worship and edification. The gospel is pictured, for instance, in our celebration of the Lord's Supper, our baptismal services where we rejoice with those who have recently come to Christ and are now making that public confession of what Christ has done in their hearts. The gospel is proclaimed through our congregational singing, through our musical worship, the teaching even of our children that goes on sometimes outside of this room, what's going on there. Some of them don't yet know Christ. They're young, growing believers. It's the opportunity to speak the gospel to them. Our corporate edification together through fellowship, through teaching, that reveals that something special binds us together as a family. And to those on the outside looking in, that can be very impactful. That binding agent is the gospel. Even something like our nursery ministries, which happens behind the scenes while we are gathered corporately in the loving care of the workers in the nursery, the attention to detail, that can show an unbelieving guest a small picture of Christ's love for them. And we could go on and on with other examples of how this can be accomplished corporately as one gathered entity. We also could focus on our Welcome to Cornerstone Fellowship. That's there, first of all and foremost, to make our guests feel welcome, to be informative, to provide them information about our church. But its even more deep-rooted purpose is actually to reveal something, to reveal what we're all about, bringing God glory in the church, and that Christ's work among us enables that. Those are the emphases that Pastor and Jan and the others are providing for our guests in the welcome class on Sunday morning. What we're all about, worship, edification, and evangelism for God's glory. The gospel is implicit even in that. Our discipleship class also meets weekly during ABF for the specific purpose of teaching the basics of God's truth to those who are young believers, as well as those who may still be searching and have some questions. That is in place for them. But how about these smaller gatherings, these outreach programs where it's still a group of us that are together under the structure that the church provides? The gospel is clearly presented here, even more clearly, more explicitly, with the specific intention of making disciples. The ESL ministry, Art Metcalf leads this ministry. We've had it in place for a long time. It's using the avenue and a need that these people have to learn English, a need that they recognize and are pursuing to meet. We use that need in order to be a platform, ultimately, to present the gospel in spoken form to them. Meets every Monday evening at 7 o'clock right here at the church. It's a blessing to see that happening, the connections being made there. Nursing home ministries. This is currently our ministry of the week, our prayer focus for the week when it comes to our ministries. We have two nursing home ministries going on right now. Charles and Ann Engruse head up the weekly ministry at Brookdale. That meets on Sunday afternoons. And Tom Priest and Lee Popwell are working over at Greenville Glen on Wednesday evenings before prayer meeting. Now, there's some overlap here into edification because many of the residents in these nursing homes, they do know the Lord. They love the Lord, and it's an opportunity to be an encouragement to them, an outlet that many of them don't already have. But the primary impetus is speaking the gospel there at those venues. Our jail ministry on Monday evenings, Dan Daughtry and Susan Johnson lead up this ministry. We travel down to Lawrence County Detention Center, a little south of us here, each week on Mondays for the express purpose of sharing the gospel to some people whose sin has tarnished their lives. They are in a mess, and many of them know that because of their sinful choices. We have an opportunity to, with love and humility and excitement, speak the truth of the gospel to them each week. Just heard this past week, got a letter from the leaders of this ministry that a woman was saved this past week as a result of this ministry that we have. And we praise the Lord for that. What an exciting opportunity that those that participate in that ministry have. And then as another example, we have a couple different children's outreaches. We have a Good News Club during the school year that meets at Monarch Elementary School. It's an exciting opportunity to really get to know every single week, one day each week, the children that come to that as part of their extended ed schedule for each Thursday. And we have the opportunity to get to know them, to love them, and to speak the gospel to them. And then, of course, it expands into the summer with our backyard Bible clubs. We have our first one this week in the Klimovich's neighborhood, proclaiming the gospel to community children in different venues, in different formats. What an opportunity that is. And each of these ministries are open for more involvement. There is always a need. There is always an opportunity to participate in one of these structured outreach programs. So those are the ways that we can accomplish evangelism corporately. And there are other examples as well that are going on. In other words, through the direct oversight of the church that, that the church organizes, that the church provides structure for. And all these opportunities are great. Their primary reason that we have these programs at Cornerstone is that some evangelistic endeavors actually require that structure in order to be effective, the structure that the church can provide. You probably would have a hard time starting an ESL ministry in your home. I'm sure it's possible, but it is so much easier when the church provides the infrastructure for something like that. It may also be particularly difficult to show up at a local elementary school and walk into the office and say, "I would like to run a Bible club here." That's challenging. That's probably not going to happen. The church, for instance, can provide the structure and the organization to enable that to happen. So we corporately do have some evangelistic efforts in place, corporately. But here's the question. Here's where we want to get. Here is kind of the bottom of our funnel, if you will, that we have been arriving at for the past few weeks. Here's a question to which all of this discussion has been leading. Don't miss this. We really want to think about this together as a church family. Do evangelistic programs fulfill this facet of our mission? to evangelize the lost? Do the programs we have, the corporate setting, the structure that the church provides, does that fulfill this calling, this facet of our mission? Does this fully enable us to bring glory to God in this aspect of church ministry? To evangelize the lost. To answer that question, we probably need to do what we've done for the past several weeks, and that is follow the scriptural pattern. That's what we need to do. So where does the scriptural weight of evangelism lie? And we're not going to fully answer that question from Scripture tonight because I don't want to steal Pastor's thunder, okay? He's not here, but I still know I can't get away with it. Because I know he's going to be listening up and making sure that he has plenty of material to cover over the next few weeks. And he's not going to have trouble with that because a study on evangelism is life-altering for a church. I really think it can be. So we're not going to go to a lot of passages here in our remaining time tonight. We're just going to think together in answering these questions a little bit. Where does the scriptural weight of evangelism lie? Is it on the church gathered, the structure, the direct leadership, the big programs? Is that where it's at? Or is it on the individual church member? Is that where the weight really scripturally lies? Throughout the book of Acts, and even through the epistles and the teaching and the training of the people of God early in church history, where do you see evangelism pursued? Where do you see it commanded? Is it in the corporate gatherings of the church? Is that where it is? And we would argue that primarily the answer is no. That's not primarily where evangelism happens. Wherever you see the gospel being presented in an evangelistic kind of a setting to a big group like Peter in the temple precincts in Acts chapter 3 or in Paul on Mars Hill in the city of Athens, it's to unbelievers. They are persuading. They are being messengers of the reconciliation that we read about a little bit ago to unbelieving hearts and ears that are listening. Is it at a corporate gathering? Yes, it can be, but it's not a church service, is it? Is it in the edification in the church? Not primarily, no, because edification happens between believers. That's what's going on by definition. Now, the gatherings and being a church gathered, corporately pursuing our calling, again, we have seen over and over again that evangelism can be a wonderful byproduct of that. But it's perhaps not the way that we would think that it would work. Christ's plan for evangelism is the church, but maybe not the way that we would think. When it comes to evangelism, if the burden is not on the church gathered, then it must be on the church dispersed, right? That's where it primarily has got to happen. When we speak about the church being the messenger, we're not referring necessarily to the corporate church. That's not enough. Programs overseen and run by the corporate church that utilize a small percentage of the church's membership, it's not enough. Evangelism happens when the whole church speaks of Jesus. And this is how we could say that in a nutshell. The responsibility of evangelism rests on the entire body of believers. That means all of us individually, all of us dispersed. Everyone is indispensable in speaking the gospel. Not just participating in a program, but in actually speaking the gospel of Jesus Christ. Evangelistic efforts are not reserved for the pastors and the deacons. They're a regular individual responsibility of everyone in the church family. It's an idea of an organic, constant way of life that is woven all throughout the body of Christ. This local body, you and I individually bear the responsibility of speaking of Jesus and of doing it within our established relationships, our family that does not know the Lord, our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, our hairdresser, our UPS man, our lawn care provider, our AC repairman. The list goes on and on. While programs may help provide opportunities for us to speak the gospel, they're not necessary for evangelism to take place. They're not. In fact, programs alone often can have a downside to them. There can be an implicit danger going on if we rely on our programs to do our evangelism for us, because they can present and produce a false sense of evangelism that alleviates the personal responsibility, that feeling of personal responsibility that each of us has to speak the gospel. And they can sometimes be detrimental if we lack the scriptural perspective that we're looking at now and that we're going to see fleshed out in the weeks to come. I'll give you an example of this from my own personal life. We have a backyard Bible club coming up this summer, and I've had the privilege of being a part of that for five or six years now, and it's been a really exciting experience. It's been a wonderful program outreach to be a part of. But it's been very easy for me, subconsciously sometimes, to participate in that and kind of consider my evangelistic efforts checked off for the year, you know, or at least checked off for the summer, to think, I'm okay because I just participated in the Backyard Bible Club this week. And we're all susceptible to this line of thinking. It could look like this: because my church has these programs in place, I'm okay. I'm a part of this body. This body is evangelizing in these different programs, so I'm good. Or because I'm an ESL teacher, I'm good. Or because I flipped hot dogs at that church open house, I've evangelized. I've been a part of what's going on. And those things are fine. Those things are good. They're important. But that's not the full orbed picture of evangelism, is it? While Cornerstone Baptist Church provides numerous programs designed for corporate evangelism, those programs, those outreach opportunities, they're just simply tools. They can further equip us. They can enhance the message. They're designed to enhance the message that you and I are already speaking daily. That's what their purpose is. It's a tool to enhance and further equip us in what we are to already be doing. That's the idea. Individual evangelism has to always be our identity. It's not an event-based thing. It's not an occasional pursuit. This is who we are to be in Christ. You and I are all evangelists, each of us. That's the picture in this facet of our mission. When the entire body of believers takes its evangelistic responsibility seriously, there's a healthy culture then of accountability that develops among the group corporately, among all of us together. Assistance and encouragement, that culture can develop as we do this individually. It's an individual calling, but you see how it can still be pursued together as one body, because we're all doing it when we're dispersed, but we're all doing it. And it produces this culture of accountability and encouragement and assistance in this. Bringing someone alongside for a particularly difficult opportunity that you have. Someone who you know will have the love and the knowledge and the humility to aid you in the process of sharing the gospel with your hairdresser or with your coworker or your neighbor. Asking for prayer, the opportunity that I have been given in this neighbor of mine, this family member of mine. I'm looking forward to the opportunity upcoming. Pray for me that I may speak the gospel with boldness, because this is hard for me. This does not come naturally for me. It's an individual calling, but we still pursue it as a body of believers. This is a culture that we should all want here at Cornerstone. It's the daily mindset that we must share as God's people. That's what our emphasis is going to be for the next few weeks as Pastor Reimers leads us in that. We are to be a church that speaks of Jesus when dispersed. But we're not there yet, are we? We have a lot of room to grow, and we need that help that Christ promised on the Mount of Olives before he ascended to heaven, and he said, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. I am with you in this calling, until I come back. I am with you in this calling until the work is complete, because it's my calling, and I will see that it gets done. What a privilege to be the messengers of that reconciliation. And we're excited about the next few weeks as we study together how the whole church can speak of Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father, this is overwhelming for us. We are excited to see from your word how we have been chosen by your grace to be your channels of the reconciliation that you have accomplished, to be messengers of that, to be ambassadors and emissaries, to bear this message verbally to those established relationships that we have outside of this sphere. But Lord, we need your help. We are thrilled to see that you have promised your presence with us, because we need it. We need your grace. This does not come naturally to us. This is hard for us. How much easier it would be for us to simply rely on the structure that is already in place. But Lord, we know that the burden still rests on us in our daily walks and our daily lives. But Lord, this is not a burden. We praise you that this is a privilege. We thank you for the opportunity to be a part of what you are doing in this world, to glorify yourself and to promote your Son. Thank you for the privilege of being a part of that. In Jesus' name, amen.